on Wednesday night, basically just taking some things we're having to deal with. And most of these things are things we never had to deal with before, but we do now. And finding out, looking to see from the Bible where we need to be on these issues. Now, this is a very prevalent issue in our society today, immigration. In our presidential race for this November, it's a very prominent issue where these candidates stand on where we should be. And we can't hide our head in the sand and say, well, you know, it's not an issue. Yes, it is. It's a very important issue. And we need to figure out, again, biblically, where should we be? So we're going to look at the whole issue tonight. We'll be going to different places in the Bible, so just kind of keep your Bible handy there for a few minutes. And let's ask the Lord to bless this time together. Lord, once again, we're looking at issues we have to deal with. Now, Lord, we don't ever remember a time when this immigration issue was what it is today. There was a great deal of concern. There was a great deal of confusion. Lord, there's strong feelings on both sides of the issue. We as believers need to be on your side. We need to be where you would want us to be on the issue. And I pray that you'd help us tonight, speak to our hearts, show us truths. Holy Spirit, speak to us individually, that our hearts would be in tune with you. Lord, we'll deal with some of the issues this issue brings about. Help us to acknowledge, and again, have a right spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, immigration today is a very hot topic in America. What should America's position be on allowing others from foreign lands to come to America, become citizens in this country, is the question. Then there's the issue of those who have come here illegally. What do we do with them? Should they be given amnesty and given citizenship, or should they be rounded up and deported? What about the children born to the illegal immigrants living in America, who are now citizens of America? So how do we handle them if we deport their parents? These are all issues that are tied up in this issue. Now, as we see already, the issue is a very difficult one to solve. I wish it was a one-sentence issue. But when you really start digging into it, it's a very difficult issue to solve. There are no easy solutions, and any solution is going to bring a whole new set of problems. So again, the question for us as believers is, what should our position be on the subject? What answers can we generate or glean from the Bible concerning the issue? Now, I've put several points on here just to kind of guide us. Well, let's talk about immigrants to America. Let's back that up. Let's just talk in general about immigrants to America. I was thinking about this, and you know, it's a very startling reality when you figure that all who live in America are here as a result of immigration. Every person who lives in America is here as a result of immigration. Every person living in America has in their ancestry somewhere an immigration from another part of the world. Now, I know you're getting ahead of me. You're saying, what about Native Americans? Well, God didn't create them in America either. Amen. They had to come from somewhere else. That's right. And, you know, I kind of object to this idea of Native Americans. There are none. Everybody came from somewhere else. Now, our country was founded by immigrants. The pilgrims came to America from Europe seeking religious liberty. We all celebrate Thanksgiving and, you know, the big black hats and the turkeys and the shotguns with the big things on the air, all that. We remember the pilgrims. Well, where did they come from? Europe. They immigrated here from Europe. And then they came, and then vast numbers of people followed them. And eventually, a new nation was established. The United States of America. And then we think about the history of our country. You know, down through the years, our country has a history of welcoming immigrants. Now, don't misconstrue that. That doesn't mean that when immigrants came, everybody in America loved them. Read about the Irish. Read about the Chinese. Not well accepted. And others. But America welcomed these people to come and take part in what was going on here. And that's been our history. The Statue of Liberty and Ellis Island up there are reminders to us of our heritage of welcoming people from all over the world. As a matter of fact, inscribed on Lady Liberty are these words: "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift up my lamp beside the golden door." So we see that there's a history in our country of immigrants in America. And so when we talk about immigrants, don't forget, at some point in our lives, by the way, I've had the occasion, my sons were doing family research, and they told me that, my son Arthur told me, he found my grandfather's name on the logbook at Ellis Island. And I went and searched it. Now, my grandfather came from Italy with his mother, 1898, I think it was. And I actually saw the book with their name written from Ellis Island. Salvador was his name. Salvador Castellano. And that's an interesting thing. But see, that's how America did things. Now, today, we have two main immigration groups in America. We have the legals and we have the illegals. We have legal immigrants in our country. Actually, our country has established a system whereby a foreigner can immigrate to America and seek citizenship legally. We have that in place. And right now, there are millions of people in America as naturalized citizens, or people who are working towards becoming citizens in our country. And we welcome them. And they've gone through the legal system like they're supposed to, and they're working towards citizenship. And let me just throw a couple names at you that you'll recognize as people who have come to America from other countries, and some, I guess all of them are citizens, but Albert Einstein came to America. He came from Germany to Switzerland to America. Joseph Pulitzer came from Hungary to America. For you sports fans, Hakeem Olajuwon. Yeah, him. Came from Nigeria. Olajuwon. How do you say that? Yeah. From Nigeria. And by the way, in the sports world, there are many who've come to America and prospered and done well. Cary Grant came from England to America. Alexander Graham Bell went from Scotland to Canada to America. Levi Strauss came from Bavaria to America. And of course, there's Arnold. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Austria to America. These are just some of the names of people who have gone through the system and done it. Now, on the other hand, there are illegal immigrants in America. There are somewhere between 11 million and 20 million. Nobody knows the exact number because they don't know who they are. 11 million to 20 million people living in America who are here illegally. These are people who have somehow entered our country without going through the legal process. Now they're here and they're enjoying all the benefits of America illegally. And I want to add that they're here illegally enjoying America while others who want to come here legally have to wait in line until approved by our governmental system. All right, now let's look at some biblical teaching that can pertain to this. And let me say this. We're going to look at some verses. And nowhere in the Bible does God say, thou shalt love immigrants. Any more than God says in the Bible, thou shalt not smoke cigarettes. But the principles are there. You with me? And so we're going to look at a couple of principles here that we need to really think about when we're thinking about this thing of immigrants. The Bible doesn't really mention immigrants, but it gives us some guidance. Now, in the Old Testament, go over to Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19, 9 and 10. Now here's something God said to the Israelites as he's given them the law. And he says there in 19, verse 9, and when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. The poor and the stranger, the poor of the Israelites and the stranger who was not an Israelite. And God says you're to leave that there. Several statements command a caring attitude and corresponding actions of the Israelites to strangers. We've just read one. Go over to Exodus 22. Exodus 22 and verse 1. I'm sorry, I've got a wrong reference there. The reference I'm looking for, God tells him not to vex any stranger. But let's go on to the next one, Deuteronomy 24, 22-21. I put a comma in there. That's probably what I did. Yeah, that's it. Thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. God saying to the Israelites, hey, remember, you were a stranger one time. And you know, I started this whole thing with, remember, somewhere in our line, we got immigrants. That's how we got here. So never forget that. But Deuteronomy 24, verse 17. And here God is telling the Israelites, you've got to practice justice and mercy towards strangers. He says there in 24 verse 17, thou shalt not pervert the judgment of the stranger, nor the fatherless, nor take a widow's raiment to pledge. So he's talking about proper treatment. But thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. When thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. When thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. So God gives these commands about strangers and showing mercy. Now, the issue here is that of compassion and caring for strangers. And, of course, immigrants would be strangers to us. Now, but there are some interesting things God also said, and I called it kind of restrictions on strangers. Strangers, God said, couldn't be involved in the Passover. In Exodus 12, verses 19 and on, he tells the Israelites to have this Passover, but he says, a stranger who has not become a proselyte Israelite, in other words, gone through the circumcision and all, and worshiping Jehovah like the Israelites, unless he had done all that. If he hadn't done that, he could not participate in the Passover. And then he couldn't eat blood in the food. Leviticus 17, even the stranger is forbidden to eat the food with the blood in it. And here's something interesting. We know that God told the Jews they were not allowed to charge interest or usury to fellow Jews. You understand that? But they could charge strangers, people who were not proselytes to the Jewish beliefs. Now, all of that we've seen, I know you say, well, that's all law. And I understand that. I'm just looking for principles. Okay, this gives me the principles that God cares about the poor and God cares about strangers, the less fortunate. And so should we. Would you agree with that? That's a principle. Okay. And then all through the Bible, and we could go from verse after verse, about God's care for the poor. And Old Testament, New Testament, you know, I was just on the way in, a fellow was talking about the book of James. In chapter 2 of James, God takes people to task because in the church house, some people would come in nice clothes and nice jewelry and stuff, and they would welcome them and give them the best seats. Others would come in kind of ragtag, you know, and obviously not as well-to-do, and they would give them the poorer seats. And yeah, that's wrong. Because God cares about everybody, the poor and the wealthy. It doesn't matter. And we need to have that kind of a spirit of caring for everybody. And seeing everybody as wealthy or of wealth in God's mind, of value, an equal value. Listen, here's a fact. Most of us were born in America, and we had nothing to do with that. You had no say in where you were born. We've been blessed to be American citizens. But there's a lot of people who weren't blessed that way, and they would love to come and be a part. And many of them are poor and would never experience anything like we ever experienced without coming to our country. So we need to understand that and understand why people want to come here for the most part. We'll talk about that in a minute. Now, problems with illegal immigration. There are legal immigrants. We don't have a problem with that. But we've got, as I said, somewhere, they say, between 11 and 20 million illegal immigrants in our country. And that creates some problems. What are these problems? Well, first of all, these illegal immigrants have broken the law. They're criminals. Hello? Hey, if you steal something, you've broken the law. You're a criminal. If you injure somebody, you know, assault somebody and injure them, you're a criminal. You've broken the law. And so many things that you've broken the law. That's criminal. Well, they've broken the laws of our country on getting into our country. They have willingly, wantonly violated the laws of the United States of America. So, they've broken the law. They've willingly violated our law. And the fact is, our law contains prescribed penalties for those who do that. The law says they're to be deported. If they're here illegally and they have not gone through the process, our government is supposed to step in and deport them. That's what's supposed to happen. Of course, it hasn't. So number one, they've broken the law. Number two, they've bypassed the system that was established for them to be here. There are many who were, as I said earlier, waiting their turn to come to America legally. And you know, America lets so many in and, you know, they balance all that. But there are people who are waiting to come and they haven't been cleared to come yet, but these people just come anyway. Kind of uninvited, so to speak. So they've come to America and these people that are still waiting are the ones who have obeyed the rules. And the reward's going to the one who hasn't. So technically, I'd say the law obeyers are being punished for obeying the law. That's a problem with illegal immigration. Now, also, they are taxing our economy. I don't know how many billions of dollars America is spending taking care of illegal immigrants. Listen, illegal immigrant goes to the hospital. If it's a not-for-profit hospital, they have to treat them. Otherwise, they're not tax-exempt anymore. So, how much do you pay for your health care? They don't pay anything. Public schools. If they take their children to a public school in America, they've got to accept them. So we're educating a bunch of people who are not paying taxes for education. The welfare system. Now, I'm not sure how much they can qualify for. I didn't investigate all the laws, but I'm sure they qualify in different areas for different welfare things. States like California, Arizona, Texas are really, really under the gun with this because the people from Mexico and South America are coming over that border and settling in those areas, and they've got most of them there. And so they're having to provide for them. Listen, if they need food, they're going to get food. Our government's not going to let them starve to death. So they're taxing our economy. They're getting a lot of benefits without paying any taxes. Another issue there is, in many ways, they're taking jobs from Americans. Now, we got laws on our books that say it's illegal to hire somebody who's not a legal alien, but people do it all the time. They're violating our laws. How many illegal aliens do we have driving automobiles without a license? And if they don't have a license, they don't have insurance. So we've got a bunch of people out there driving automobiles that have no license, have no insurance. But they're using our highways, and they're putting us in jeopardy because if they hit our car or hit something of ours and do damage, there's no liability. You're stuck. And then I guess all the cases with them, they work what we call under the table, off the books. So they pay no income tax, they pay no social security. They pay no local taxes to support the fire department and the police department and the snow plow and all the things that your local government does. They don't pay for any of it. These are issues with illegal aliens being in our country. Now, We don't want to be mean and say, hey, we don't want anybody here. No, that's not what America does. America says we welcome people, but we can't take everybody at once, and you've got to come in according to our rules. And these people violated the rules. One more thing. This is probably what I think is the primary thing right now. There are a very high security risk. Listen, we got people coming into our country that we don't know who they are, what they are, where they're coming from, or why they want to be here. Amen. Consequently, we've got people who no doubt have terrorist ideas who are coming into our country. And it's only a matter of time before they start operating. So these are issues. All right. There's four possible solutions to this dilemma. And this is what we're hearing from our candidates. How many of you have listened to a debate? Oh, listen, you need to listen to what some of these people are saying. I know it. On the other side, I don't bother listening. I know what they're saying. What do you mean the other side? You know who I'm talking about. Bernie and what's her name? But listen, we got, what do we have? Five left? Four left? I think five left. Candidates on the conservative side, the Republican side, and we need to know what their positions are. These are important issues. Now, solution number one, amnesty. That means that we just tell all these illegal aliens, we're going to make you a citizen. Go down, sign up. They might have to pay a little fine or something, but you're going to be a citizen. You have all the rights to citizenship in America. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not for that. These people have violated the law. These people have broken our laws, come in illegally. These people, we don't know why they're here. How are we just going to grant them citizenship? Plus, is that fair to the ones who've been waiting? Now, Sanders and Clinton are for amnesty. I'm not trying to be political. I'm telling you where they stand. They'll make it very clear. They're for amnesty. And while we're on that subject, think about why these people want these illegal aliens to have amnesty. Why do they want 11 million to 20 million people in this country illegally, who we don't know what they are or why they're here? Why do they want them to be citizens? There it is. So they can vote. And of course, if they're the ones who lead in giving them amnesty, guess who they're going to be loyal to? Well, listen, November's coming. Number one, go vote. And number two, find out where these people are on the issues and vote for the people who agree with you and you agree with them. I'll have something to say about that Sunday. Amnesty. Clinton and Sanders. The second was enforce immigration laws and deport all the illegals. Round up all 11 million to 20 million, send them out. Send them back where they came from or wherever they can go. All right, that's Donald Trump. And hey, I'm not picking on anybody. I've listened to the debates. I've heard what they said. This is his position. He says we need to round them up and deport them. Well, a lot of people want to hear that. But I gave you some things to think about if we're going to do that. How are we going to find them? We don't know who they are. then what are we going to do with the kids? So there are issues there. I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just saying, think about these things. But that's Donald Trump and Cruz. Does anybody know if Cruz is in agreement with that? I really haven't gleaned his position. I don't think he's for rounding everybody up. But let me give this next position. And that's partial amnesty. Now, that's, well, it's the idea of creating a path to citizenship to those who are here. Don't deport them, and don't just give them amnesty, but create a way for them over a time period to become citizens. Kasich from Ohio, this is his position. You say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, again, these people are here illegally, and they've broken the law. They've jumped ahead in the line, and this would just be rewarding disobedience. There's one more position. I call it practical amnesty. And here's what that position says. Do not deport the illegal aliens. It'd be a difficult task, and you know, it'd create a can of worms. Don't just deport them, but don't allow them to become citizens either. Let them stay in America. Let them get a work visa, so to speak, that they can stay here, but they can never be citizens in America. They can never have all the rights of a citizen of America. By the way, that means they'd never be able to vote. Not interesting. Now, that's Marco Rubio. If you investigate his position, that's where he is. See, Rubio's family immigrated here. So the biggest slam against him on the conservative side is he's weak on this area of amnesty and the immigrants, illegal immigrants. Well, the reason he's weak on it is he has a soft spot for them because that's his background. So, that's his position. Allow them to stay. They would have to pay a fine and, you know, this kind of thing. They would get a work visa, but they'd never be allowed to be citizens. So those are the positions. Now, Cruz, I believe, is somewhere in between that. I don't think he agrees with Rubio, so to speak. I think he wants to be a little more stern, a little more, you know, that kind of thing. But he is not for amnesty, for sure. Okay, those are the positions. And this is what we're going to be looking at. All right, what should a believer's position be? Biblical positions. Well, number one, I believe a biblical position is we have to reject amnesty for everybody. Why do you think that's biblical? Because in Romans 13, other places in the New Testament were told to obey the government, obey the laws. These people have violated the laws. I cannot support someone who's violating the law. Hello. So, do you agree with amnesty? No. Plus, there's a lot of other reasons, but biblically, I think it's wrong. I think it rewards disobedience. Okay? So we need to reject amnesty. We need to be compassionate. Though we're rejecting amnesty, we still need to be compassionate. We should have no hatred for illegal people. Listen, I don't hate the illegals that are in America. Why not? Because I try to be compassionate and think about where they came from. And why did they come here? For the most part, they came here because they will never have what they can have in America. Many of them living in poverty, and but the opportunities that are here. Hey, if I was in their place, I'd probably want to come here too. I hope I wouldn't do it illegally. So I don't hate them. They came here to seek a better life. I can't agree with their actions, but I can understand their motives. I think another position we need to have is We need to seal our border. You say, how do you get that biblically? Well, here's how I get that biblically. I think the open border that we have is a temptation. It's more or less a license to sin. We need to take away that temptation and that license to sin and make it so they do have to come through the lawful way. And then we need to understand the person who's here illegally really does need to be punished. However we decide to do it, there needs to be a price to pay for breaking the law. And there's one final biblical position here. We have 11 to 20 million illegal people here from different countries. Many of them South America, Central America, Mexico, but other places too, who have come here illegally. Don't ever forget, every one of them is a soul for whom Christ died. Now watch this. We are sending missionaries to foreign countries to win these same people. Now we have a bunch of them coming to us. What an opportunity we have to reach them for Christ. We don't need to shun them. We don't need to see them as not valuable. We need to understand these are souls for whom Christ died, and He loves them as much as He loves you. And we need to seize the opportunity to reach them while we can. And think about this. Let's say we could reach a bunch of these people with the gospel. Get them saved. And as much as we could, get them grounded in the Bible. And then they get deported. Say they would get sent back to their country. Guess what they're taking with them? The gospel. And who knows if God doesn't have a plan there? But see, our responsibility right now is to see them as lost people. And to understand wherever and whenever we can reach them, we need to reach them. We don't have to have hatred. They're here, yeah, they're costing us our country money, and there's all kinds of problems they bring with them. I understand that. But listen, don't hate the person. God loves them, and they came here seeking better than they ever had. Let's be compassionate. All right, comments, questions, Dennis. Absolutely.
Because our government has totally allowed it to get this blood amount so much out of proportion that now it's an unsolvable problem.
Absolutely. And by design.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, by design.
Democrats love it because we'll give in.
Bring them in. Bring them in. Well, absolutely. But what's the alternative? See? And I said, any one of these, whichever one you choose, is going to cause a lot of problems. It's a can of worms. But it's got to be dealt with. And again, I said by design about this government thing. It is by design. This is exactly what President Obama wanted. See, if you haven't figured it out yet, and I'm not trying to be political. I'm just looking at what I'm saying. This guy thinks America has had an unfair advantage and that we owe the world. And so he's been giving to the world, and he's been allowing the world to come into us and partake of everything we have without being a part of it, paying for any of it. And that's his mindset. And by the way, Clinton's going to be the same thing. Same mindset. They want to punish America for our being a great nation. And they think everybody ought to be equal. You know, it's socialism. Everybody ought to have the same. Well, no. No, that takes away the incentive to work. That's what's made America great. Well, that's the left wing's goal, is to make us like Europe. They want to model America after Europe, which is socialist. And, you know, we've never wanted to be like Europe. But these people want to make us like Europe. And that's where they're pushing us. Yes. Exactly. Yeah, it's there, but you have to come and work for it. Listen, all through the Bible, there's a work ethic taught. If a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. If a man don't work and provide for his own, he's worse than an infidel. So this idea of giving people for not working is never going to work. It hasn't. Lyndon Johnson started this thing with the welfare back in 1965, I think it was, when he came through, 64. He came through with this war on poverty. And he decided that we need to start throwing a lot of money at the poor and all, and throw money at them. And when they have a better standard of living than money-wise, it will bring them up in their total standard of living. Well, no. Hadn't worked. And, you know, they started building all these high-rise apartments for the poor and the indigent and everything down in Philadelphia and all your cities, you know. They built these places and gave these people nice housing. And a few years ago, they had to tear them all down because it didn't work. They didn't take care of it. Well, that's it. The work ethic. And you know, the socialist side, the liberal side, wants to go that route. The conservative side says, no, we can't reward that. We need to have bring America back to the work ethic. That's where we are, yes. Yeah, and there's the Justice Department, I just heard on the radio today, is looking at ways that they can make it legal for the illegals to vote. Yeah. See, they know they're in trouble in November, and they're looking for anything they can do. Give illegals the right to vote. So that's where we are. And California wants to issue driver's license. And, you know, just different things happening. But I hope that helps you on the issue. We need to be Christian. Say amen. Amen. And have compassion and care. But we also need to balance this thing with, you can't reward law breaking. And somehow we're going to have to fix this problem. Because it's getting worse and worse. And it is a very definite threat to our security. All God. Well, exactly. They've let it get out of control. And by the way, the Muslim populations all over Europe are just exploding because they're immigrating, and then, of course, they're breeding. And that's their goal, is to take over through numbers. And, you know, Europe has this liberal policy. Well, yeah, just come on. Well, look where it got them. And then they accepted a bunch of these from Syria, and look at what happened there. Yes?
Well, going to be able to send billions of dollars over to Europe, and billions of dollars over to the Middle East, and billions of dollars down in Central and South America. We're not going to have the money to send. We're not going to be able to fund the charity. We're not going to be able to feed the ones that come here. Because people want, well, they want a better life. If they don't do it legally, they're invading.
Well, Margaret Thatcher, I think it was, said the problem with socialism is sooner or later you run out of other people's money. See, so that it can only go on so long. So, listen, it's something we have to deal with, and again, we have to come to a conclusion as a Christian. Where do I need to be on this? And there's an election coming up. Who do I need to vote for? I can't just go in and pull the D or the R. Who am I really going to vote for? And by the way, you need to be paying attention to the other issues. Yeah. All right, any other comments, any other questions?
They all start down at our level, too. It's not just the president, but we got senators that don't get rid of it.
It's government. It's government. Either party. Government. And, you know, it. Well, that's another topic. Another topic. Government. All right, immigration. I hope that helps you. And again, pay attention to the issues, please. It's important. America's survival is on the line here. And we better wake up. Lord, thank you again for your word. Thank you that even in these kind of issues, we can find some principles, we can find some precepts, we can find some solid ground to put our feet on in where we need to be and what we need to do. Lord, you know our heart. We don't hate illegal immigrants. We know that for the most part they've come here to better themselves. And they've come here because we are the greatest nation in the world. Other countries build fences to keep people out. We don't have to build any fences. People come here and don't want to leave. And Lord, we ask you now to help us, not just in this issue, but in all the issues we're facing, to find biblical ground to stand on and stand firm, stand fast. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.